For the lesson today, though, I've not developed it to strictly deal with fathers. God identifies that fathers are indeed responsible for our homes. We are responsible for making sure that our wives know how much we love them, and the wife then also is responsible for submitting to the rule of the husband. And as I look, though, to the relationship that we have with our spouse, as well as for the development of the home, today I want to speak to both of us. I want to speak to our mothers and fathers. I want to speak to husbands and wives in regard to the things that we owe our children. To begin with, I want us to understand that the Bible says that our children are a heritage from the Lord. Psalm 127 and verse 3. And as I think with reference to this, the Bible says that Israel, fleshly Israel's heritage was material. That is, God gave them the land of milk and honey. And how is it that they dealt with their heritage? According to what we find in the book of Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 11, they plundered and destroyed it. They did not see it as great value, and for that reason they took God for granted and what it was that God had blessed them with. Today I want you to know, as I see it and as I believe God presents it, our heritage is much more precious. How so? Our children are our heritage, and our children represent a life that has been created by our God. Not only a life that has been created and lives here, but also it is a precious soul that will someday dwell eternally in heaven, either in heaven or in hell. And you and I, as mothers and fathers, have a huge responsibility, a blessing and a privilege, but also a huge responsibility to make sure that the salvation of our children is the highest of priority. We need to take into our lives in raising our children to be like Noah. Noah built an ark for the safety of his family. And in this, you and I need to build our lives around the Lord's church to make sure that our families understand the seriousness and the significance of the kingdom of God. And we need to do all that is within our power to do, not only to introduce them to this ark or this place of safety that God has designed, but we need to live our lives in such a way that they would want to enter into the church by means of salvation that is extended by our God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We also need to focus our lives upon, as mothers and fathers, as husbands and wives, as Joshua. I'm reminded of what Joshua said in Joshua 24 and verse 15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What a profound statement that is it not? For you and me to learn today the importance of rearing our children according to the will of God and making such statements as what Joshua said to make sure that our children understand how important God is to us individually as well as collectively, and that while our children live in our homes under our guidance, our tutelage, is that we're going to do all that we can possibly do to help them understand that our house will indeed stand and serve the Lord. How can we understand as well as be successful in rearing our children in a way that will glorify God? Well, to begin with, we owe our children, I believe, a home that is filled with faith and love. Friends, marriage and the home is a blessing from our God. God created this beginning with Adam and Eve. And He created Adam and Eve with and for one another. And in designing this man and this woman and establishing the home, God wants us to understand that this serves as a foundation for our marriage. We need to make sure that our marriage certainly lines up with what God says would define a scriptural, a biblical marriage. But not only must our marriage align with what the Word of God says, we also then need to make sure that we love one another to the level that certainly would be pleasing and acceptable unto our God. So what we find with Adam and Eve, with their relationship with one another, it serves as a foundation for our marriage. But friends, also it serves as a foundation for our home. we see that this man and woman worked together, and they were supposed to work together for the good of their home, for their children, and bringing their children up according to the will of our God. Today, I want to encourage our husbands and wives, our mothers and fathers, to bear with one another in love. You see, life has all kinds of highs and lows. Life, as well as marriage, has its ups and its downs. And whenever I think with reference to marriage, we will never be able to have the perfect marriage. That is the way in which the world looks at a perfect marriage. Why? Because it does not exist. Why is that? It's because we are imperfect people. And therefore, as I look to marriage, it is two imperfect people working together to make sure that they are committed to each other as well as to their family, and that they are not going to allow the things of this world to tear them down individually or also to consume them as a couple. But also, I believe that in order for us to accomplish having a strong family, a home that is filled with faith and love, I believe that it's important for us to point out today is that families of strong faith survive the trials of life. You see, God is the source, as we've already presented, for the foundation upon which our homes must be built. And therefore, God is the glue that not only will save us, but God is the glue that will help to bond our families together so that indeed, whenever it comes to the things that we face in life, we will indeed be able to persevere and also to prevail. You see, our homes serve as training ground also for our children. Our children will grow up and they will live their lives according to the things that they have been taught as well as according to the things that they have seen in our homes. And today I want you and me, as mothers and fathers, as husbands and wives, to understand the seriousness and the significance that God wants us to look at marriage and our homes with through our eyes, and to see is that God wants us always to be 100% committed to one another for our relationship with Him, but also for our relationship with one another, but then also for the sake of our children. You see, divorce is something that should never be brought up in our Christian homes. Why? Because divorce is not something that we are seeking after, but rather we are looking to make sure that our marriages are held together, bound together, according to the will of God, that will glorify Him, as well as we will continually work upon our love and our relationship with one another to make sure that we are pleased in our homes. But also, I believe that we owe our children a good name and a foundation. You know, it's sad to me today that as we look to the world longs for riches as well as they long to be famous. You can't turn on the television and take away from what Hollywood is putting out to dismiss what it is that I just said. Take into consideration with Hollywood, they present that everyone needs to be a movie star and that everyone can attain that level in life if they will just pursue it. But also, it's not only Hollywood. We live in a world today, here in the United States, many things are driven by the sports world. And in fact, high dollars are spent every year, annually, on sports. And what is it that is presented amongst those who are sports figures? It is that everyone can be an athletic hero. And in this too, they're not alone. When we look in regard to the political realm, we live in a world today where that those who serve in politics, not always, but I believe that this is true in most places, is that they are presenting the idea that you can be a popular person if you will just do whatever it is that the world or that people want you to do. And friends, it is not what the world says that you and I need to focus upon whenever it comes to our lives, but also when it comes to our homes. You see, God says that a good name is most valuable. In fact, in the book of Proverbs 22 and verse 1 we read, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Not every parent will be able to be rich, but every parent can indeed have a good name. Can you imagine having a name like Jezebel, a woman who was very ungodly as is presented through the Old Testament Scripture? Can you imagine having a name like what we read concerning Herod the Great or Judas Iscariot. These men, their name carries a negative connotation with it as what we find then defined in through the New Testament Scripture and even in Jezebel's case in the Old Testament. But rather, think about the blessings of having a name such as Abraham or Mary, the mother of Jesus, or even the Apostle Paul. When we think about those individuals, they had a good name. Why? Because they lived their life in such a way that God was glorified with them. But friends, also, when we think with reference to Abraham and Mary specifically, think about the example that they set before their families with the name that they had acquired in their service to God. You and I need to make sure that always in our life, the name that we are seeking after is to be counted as a faithful Christian, to be counted as a child of God. While we are raising our children, the greatest thing that we can do for them is to be a child of God, to be a Christian, and to help them understand the significance of that name and that they need to build their lives upon that same foundation of which we are seeking to live our lives, to please and to glorify God here so that someday we will be able to dwell eternally in heaven with Him in the end, that is, the end of this world. Our children often follow our examples in life. And for that reason this morning, parents, I want to encourage each and every one of us to give them a beautiful picture in our lives individually as well as together that they can follow whenever they grow and start their homes. But then also, I believe that we owe our families a secure and protected life. A liberal society does not want to be providers. We live in an age today where that our government is trying to give everything away, and yet at the same time, you and I who pay taxes know is that you can't feed everybody. We've got to, by all means, be people who are benevolent, and as church members, we understand the importance of being benevolent, reaching out to help those who are poor, reaching out to help those who are less fortunate. But at the same time, I believe that our government is stepping into realms that is very scary to me. Why? Because I remember a few years ago, Mitt Romney, during the time of the presidential campaign, made a statement. He didn't realize the mics was on, and it cost him very dearly. But he says that about 49% of Americans are on government-subsidized assistance. And whenever they did a facts check on that, they showed that it was very close, if not even true, to what it is that Romney had said. You see, we live in an age today where that people are not being encouraged to go out and to provide for themselves as well as to provide for them families. Why? For their families. Instead, they're hearing, just sit back and don't worry about it. We'll take care of you. We've got all these freebies, and there's going to be more even of what some are offering. But friends, it's not only with what we find to be true with our government today, trying to make us a handout system, but I believe that whenever it comes to protection, I'm beside myself whenever I see what we find to be true or characteristic in the world today, is that some parents, some who bring children into this world, it's as if they don't really care too much about them. They're willing to let them go out and to get involved in things that they shouldn't get involved in, not even questioning where it is that they're going or what it is that they're doing. But also, I believe that whenever it comes to our nation, is that we will care for one group of people, but at the same time, we'll set our cares or concerns aside for others. When we think with reference to providing, God wants us to understand that His parents, godly parents, work to provide for the essential things in life. God established this principle with Adam, and therefore able men with job opportunities are responsible before God. If we're not able, we're not responsible before God. If opportunities are not there, certainly God's not going to hold us accountable what it is that we can't do. But when we are able to go out and to work, whenever God has blessed us to that end, as well as whenever open doors are there, God expects us to take that advantage or those opportunities and to go out and to earn a living for ourselves and to provide for our families, to make sure that they have everything that is essential for their life. But then also, I believe that the Bible speaks very clearly that Christian couples will seek to protect their kids. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalm 62 and verse 4 is that we are to deliver the poor and needy and to free them from the hand of the wicked. That is true, is it not, when it comes to our fellow man? If we see someone who is poor, someone who is needy, someone who needs our assistance, and somebody is really weighing down on them, someone who is wicked, we ought to come in and to assist them. We ought to do all that we can possibly do to help them out of the situation that they're in. And friends, if that is true when it comes to our fellow man, is it not even much more true or much more important than when it would come to our children? We need to make sure that we provide a safe and secure home for our families. We need to do all that we can to protect them from outward dangers. That is, the dangers that are in the world, predators and the temptation of drugs and things of that nature for them and for their health and life's sake. But then also, when it comes from inwardly, what it is that we find in our homes, we need to make sure that we do not introduce them to various dangers. Drugs. Mothers and fathers should not be involved in taking either illegal drugs or legal drugs illegally. We need to make sure that we keep our lives in check. Also, when it comes to alcohol, there is absolutely nothing good, biblically, or even from what we find in the world, that would ever come from drinking, not even the first drink. And for that reason, our homes need to be ridded of the thought, even, of alcoholic beverage being in our homes. For friends, it doesn't even stop there. We need to make sure that our homes is not an abusive home, not a physical abuse, or not even mental abuse. We need to do all that we can to express and to show love for our spouses as well as for our children. And in the meantime, is that we are doing what God expects us to do to provide a secure and safe home for those that God has placed under our care. But friends, also today, I want us to understand that I believe God shows us in the Scripture that we owe our children a devotion of our time and focus. Our lives are indeed so, so busy. We are so wrapped up with everything. We overschedule ourselves with work. And I know that school's out right now, but even with school. In school today, a lot of times they give so much homework, the kids come home and they'll spend hours upon top of hours doing their homework. And then you even add to that extracurricular activities. The kids oftentimes get involved in sporting events and things of that nature. And there's good, by all means, that comes as a result of going out and engaging in those sports activities and things that the schools has to offer. But we don't want to over-schedule ourselves. And the same is true then whenever it comes to mothers and fathers, husbands and wives in our homes. We can not only spend so much time at work, but then there's always things to do around the house and out in life. And before we know it, the day is spent, the week is gone, and the year after year just continues to pass by us. Families need time with one another. Families need time with one another. If our work, if our lives are taking us away from one another, we need to do all that is within our power to do to create time for one another as a husband and wife and as a family unit. Why is that? Because it is important for holding and keeping the family together. It is critical for not only helping to maintain the family, but friends, it is also of great significance in helping to develop those that God has placed under our care. Out of all individuals that I've ever asked with children, what is it that you want most out of your mom and dad? They say, I want their time. I want their attention. When it comes to mothers and fathers, whenever their children have gone, whenever their children are no longer in their home and they're like me and Dawn now who are empty nesters? What is it that you would do over again if you could do anything at all? I would give more time to my family. I personally can say that. Dawn and I look back to the time that we had with our children in our home. And we are so blessed. And knowing that we did with what was within our power to do to raise them in Christ. And we are blessed as a result of that, I believe, today. But you know, as a father especially, I look back over times that I could have and should have, in my mind, have spent with my children and with my wife. And I regret some of that. And today I tell you something that I trust that you already know. It's impossible to turn back the clock. Yesterday, after the float, we went out to Wendy's with our children and had lunch with one another. And we saw a member of another congregation there. And this lady came up to me and she says, "It's always good to see you and Dawn out in the community, and especially whenever you have your children with you. It seems like you're always trying to do things with your kids." And I told her, I said, "You know, that's what it's all about. Spending time with our spouse, spending time with our children. We need that. They need that. And I believe that God expects that of us. We owe this unto them. Our families deserve quality time. Not just time in front of a television with one another. And not just time in getting in the car and driving from point A to point B. But spending quality time with one another. Time where that we can sit down and consume a meal with one another. And to have discussion or dialogue during the time in which we have at the meal table. To spend devotion time with one another. To express or to study from God's Word. That is very critical and very important that families understand the importance of doing this, but not only to see the importance of doing that, to take time each day to establish a time, if not daily, at least sometime throughout the course of the week, so that your family understands how important God is to you and how important God needs to be in their life. But friends, also to take time that you can just hang out and have a great time with one another. But it takes time and a sacrifice of time from other things that has been consuming or controlling our time in order for us to give proper time unto the direction that it is needed with our families. This morning, I contend as fathers, we owe a lot to our homes. But it's not only us, mothers and fathers working together. We owe our families a home that is filled with faith and love. We owe our families a good name and a foundation upon which to build their lives. We owe our homes, our children, our family, a secure and protected life. We owe our family a devotion of time and focus. And whenever we do this, we can trust that God is pleased and that our homes are well on their way to living a happy and successful life as well. This morning's lesson has not been about becoming a Christian, yet at the same time, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to those who are outside of the body of Christ. We want you to know how much God loves you and that God's love for you, for all of us, in fact, has been demonstrated in the understanding that He gave His only begotten Son to die a cruel and undeserving death so that you and I can be forgiven of our sin and be added into His glorious church whenever we submit to Christ in baptism. So today, if you're here and you're outside of the body, we want you to know that that invitation is open to you at this time, but it's always open too. But that invitation is open as we will have a song to invite you. And what you would need to do is confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and then you will be raised a new creation or creature in Christ to live your life committed to God. It may also be that we have an erring member or members here who need our prayers. Today we want you to know not only does God love you, we love you, and we would long to pray with you and for you that you might be forgiven and restored back to a faithful relationship with God. If you're subject to His invitation and call, please come.